Joining us now, he's right here in the Charlotte area. He's a tour player, Corey Nagy. Corey, welcome into the golf shop.
Thank you very much. How are you gentlemen this morning?
Oh. Awesome. We're here and we're talking golf.
I like it.
All right. So, I saw you at the PGA Championship and you were hobbling around with a serious injury, man. How's the foot feeling? How's the Achilles doing?
I sure was. Yeah, it feels much, much better. Credit to the surgeon, Carol Jones, who's here in town. He's with Ortho Carolina. Phenomenal surgeon. Greeny, I don't know if you ever need Achilles surgery, but I got the guy.
I actually know him. I know Dr. Carol Jones, yeah.
CJ, yeah, he's a phenomenal guy. Couldn't be nicer, and the procedure went very well. And then the physical therapist in town, Greg Ott, also a phenomenal guy. He got me back on track and was able to hit balls probably 4 or 5 months afterwards and started playing right at 6 months after. So, yeah, unfortunately, tore the Achilles tendon in January, had surgery, actually Valentine's Day of this year, and just getting back to it. And, yeah, it was good to see it first stage, and lucky the game felt pretty solid to get through, and now we're on the second stage, so pretty excited about it.
Yeah, you didn't know initially that you had torn the Achilles, did you?
I did not. Yeah, it was kind of a crazy thing. I was playing basketball at the Y, just playing some pickup ball, and I kind of came down a little funky, but didn't feel like I did anything too terrible. So I kind of hobbled over to the bench and sat down, and actually walked on it for 7-8 days. Not really. I knew something was going on. I didn't know it was actually torn. It was actually a full rupture. And I went to go get it checked out, and sure enough, the first doctor said, looks like you're going to need surgery.
All right, well, first, no more basketball. Okay? There's a reason almost every professional contract prohibits pickup basketball at the Y from professional athletes. There's a reason for that.
I'll be sure to write that down in my notes.
Yeah. In your contract to yourself, no more pickup basketball at the Y. All right, with Q School here and things are on the move in the positive direction, and we're going to get to that in a second. Take us through the last few years. I mean, you got out of UNCC, you turned pro, things were going well, you had some stuff breaking your way, you thought, okay, this guy's on the come here, what's going on? And then take us through that part of your story.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. So graduated, like you said, at UNC Charlotte in 2010. And I played the Arnold Palmer Cup team in July of 2010 and then turned pro right after that. My first tournament as a professional was actually at Irish Creek. It was an e-golf tour event and made the cut, played pretty well, and I was pretty much off to the races. In 2011, I won the money list for the e-golf tour. I won three times, which was great. The last one actually beat Brian Harman in a playoff, which was a good feeling, and I was – like I said, kind of off to the races, went to Q School, and I got a full web.com card and flew down to South America and actually battled a little vertigo. And I got back here in town, and one of the doctors basically said, Corey, I'd like for you just not to fly. Let's get this vertigo figured out, and, we'll go from there. And the PGA Tour was great enough to offer me a few events for the following year, so 2013, and I played well enough through those medical exemption spots to continue to play the rest of the year. And then 2014, I played some mini tour stuff, played a couple web events, but not a full season. 2015, I actually Mondayed into a web.com event and played the rest of the year. And then 2016, I guess the highlight would be playing in the Wells Fargo Championship there in Charlotte, which was a phenomenal experience. And if it wasn't for the 13th green, I probably would have made the cut. That green is just crazy. And then, obviously, this year, I was just a kind of a crazy year. Obviously, tore the Achilles and getting back to it. So it's been definitely an up and down roller coaster ride. And I think that's professional athletics, especially professional golf. It's hard enough just playing with buddies on the weekend, but to try and make a career out of it and try and, continue down that path it's just tough. That's just what I tell people. I'm a phenomenal player, but there's so many good players. I mean, you guys can probably speak to it. You see it all the time. There's just so many good players. And, at the end of the day, there's 125 guys that keep a PGA Tour card, and that's just a tiny amount.
Yeah, and I'm curious about the vertigo. Has it been addressed and you feel it's under control? And maybe did the Achilles?
Yes, luckily, you know, it's a crazy thing, and I followed Jason Day. Obviously, he's had lots of battles with it, and for me, it was really like a 4 or 5 month process that my equilibrium just needed a balance, and everything was fine. But it looks like for Jason Day, you guys might know more than I do, but it seems like it's kind of a chronic condition that he's continuing to battle. But it's no fun. There's no doubt about it. I remember I was in college and I had a teammate. We actually flew to Japan. Will Golden is his name. Great guy. He's from Auburn, Alabama. And he got off the plane and said, "Man, I think I have vertigo." And I kind of chuckled and said, "Buddy, what is that?" And sure enough, he just kind of described it as it. You feel out of balance. You feel out of sorts. And sure enough, I landed in Santiago, Chile, and felt very similar. So
yeah, it's not
it's
just a
tough thing.
It's not just a mediocre U2 album. It's a medical condition.
Exactly. You think it's mediocre? I think it's better than that.
Yeah, I don't like anything after Joshua Tree. I'm 1,000 years old.
I got it. I got it.
Again, we're talking with Corey Nagy. And Corey, you know, going into stage one, I mean, you know, you hadn't had a whole lot of time to really prep for it due to the surgery and rehab and all that stuff.
Sure.
Was it more about kind of calling on, you know, experience more than anything else to try and get through this and even going into stage two? I mean, you were recalling past experiences and the successes that you've had in order to kind of settle yourself down and maybe calm the nerves a little bit?
Absolutely. So, truth be told, the week before first stage of Q School, I wasn't even sure if the Achilles would be ready to walk. Irish Creek from start to finish is like a 7-mile walk, what my good friend Ed Donnellan told me. He's a member up there, great guy. And I'd went out the week before, and I'd walked it, and it seemed to be okay. But, you know, tendons are – it's just a crazy thing, and I really wasn't sure probably 4 or 5 days out if I was going to be able to compete. But I'd had some great rest a few days going into it, and it felt like it was feeling pretty good that Saturday, Sunday before the first stage was starting. And I said, you know what, let's just go ahead and life's too short. Let's just go ahead and give it a rip. So sure enough, first round was fine, and all week it was pretty sore, but it wasn't really painful, which was good. If it was painful, I probably would have called it a day and decided to withdraw. But for me, it just, you know, I was playing well, but honestly, what it boiled down to is when you're on crutches and you really can't do much, just being able to play, honestly, was just a huge appreciation. And I think what trumps everything in golf is a good mindset. And I certainly had an appreciative, humble mindset going in. And I think that's exactly what got me through. It's not, you know, to your point, I was definitely calling on past experience. And I've made it through first stage and I made it to final stage before, but it really was just a great mindset, because that honestly was my first tournament all year long, and I hadn't played a tournament. It was what, I don't know, maybe 9 or 10 months before, so it really wasn't something that I was definitely ready to do. But I think a good mindset, like I said, is it just trumps all. So that's what I carried through first, and I hope to continue that good mindset going to second.
Well, the good news is, you know, Irish Creek was, like you said, it's a very hilly golf course. It's a long walk, so there's a lot of up and down. So the fact that you were sore but you still made it through is a good sign. Next, going down to Plantation, Florida, you assume that's going to be a little bit flatter down in Florida. We've already talked that Florida is flat, right?
Yes.
Yes, exactly. And I did a little research, and I think it is a very, very flat course. So I think we'll be good to go. And I saw that option was there. I said, that'd be good for the Achilles. So there we go.
Yeah, so that's the question. Do you get to pick site two? Like, do you put in an order of preference? Like, I'd like to go here first, here second, here third, and then the PGA Tour kind of slots you in where they can fit you?
Exactly. It's all based on when you sign up. So I try and sign up as early as possible. And then it also is based on how you finish at each stage. So at first stage, if you play real well, and I think I finished seventh out of maybe 70 or 80 guys, and that got me my first selection. And you put an order of preference, as you said, and Plantation was up there, and sure enough, I got it. So I'm pretty excited. And I think we've kind of got a little cold spell here, and I think down there it's always warm, so I'll be excited about that.
Yeah, they could have gone full jerky with you and been like, "Hey, guy's got vertigo. Let's send him to Seattle."
Well,
let's
no,
test it out.
That would have been Marietta, California.
Yeah, let's test it out.
Hey. That they have great coffee in Seattle, so I'd be okay with that.
So as you head into stage two, I mean, you know, when do you get down to Florida? When do you go play practice rounds? You try and get there ahead of time? I mean, what's kind of the schedule coming up?
Sure, yeah. So the competition date is November 7th through the 10th, and I will head down there, and I'm actually going to use the same caddy, Rich Albright, who's from Charlotte Country Club, phenomenal guy. He caddied for me in the Wells. We're going to head down probably November 4th or so, get acclimated, and see the course a few times. It's a course I have not played or not seen, so I'm pretty excited to play it. But it's definitely getting down there and getting ready and definitely get ready to go. Hopefully it'll be another solid week. That's what I'm hoping for.
Get yourself some Google Earth and check it out. We're talking to Corey Nagy, Charlotte native, UNC Charlotte graduate, touring pro. I'm curious. You went to Vance. You're involved with the first tee of Charlotte.
Go Cougars.
Go. Wow. Wow. Okay. Throwback. Now here's what we've got. We've got a lot of listeners who have junior golfers in their family, either grandchildren or children, and we have a lot of junior golfers who listen. And there are so many people out there making mistakes with overemphasis and too much this and too much that. What's your advice for junior golfers who would like to find themselves in a position to chase the dream as you have?
Wow, what a phenomenal question. So first, I'll leave my email and phone number with you guys, and if somebody happens to call in or emails you guys, they're more than welcome to reach out to me. I've been there, I've been down on the roads, and I try and mentor a handful of guys, junior golfers here in town, to get them on the right path. And there's definitely some do's and don'ts of doing it. It might take longer than the time we have for this program. But I think ultimately, and this is something my dad did, is you have to be okay with not playing well, you know, and just keep going. I think keep going is the absolute best word for golf. And, you know, even in my career, that's something that's at the top of the list. Is golf is such a difficult, difficult game. And especially tournament golf, when you get in tournament situations, you just keep playing. You know, if you shoot 95, if you shoot 100, if whatever it is, just do your absolute best and just keep going. And I know it's very cliche and kind of cheesy to say, but it's just so true. So that's one thing that my dad and I worked on as a junior is, you know, if we finished dead last, we showed up at the next event with a great, very positive mindset and mentality. And no matter what it was, we just kept playing. And I think number one would be keep going. Number two would be have fun with it, because that's why the game was even started. Was it's enjoyment. It's to have fun with it. And anytime I'm with junior golfers or I'm at a junior tournament or actually I'm the assistant coach at Vance for both men's and women's team. And anytime I'm in practice or, you know, if we have a match, it's have fun with it. There's so many people with their head down and their shoulders down and they're not enjoying it. And I think, again, that's why the game was started, is you got to be out there and enjoying it. And I think that's, you know, if you certainly can incorporate those two things, I think you're certainly on the right path to doing so.
Well, Corey,
having a good junior career.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's a chicken and egg factor here. I mean, do you have to be able to overcome poor play, or do you have to go into it willing to suck in order to be good? there's a difference. I mean, you have to either be resilient or you have to be willing to suck and let it go. Which is it?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, I think we could write a book on that. That's a great book title, Willing to Suck. I like that. I think that's brilliant. And the more I study, and I love to study very successful people and people who have just figured life out, you know, that's ultimately what I see, is not being afraid to fail. And I think a lot of junior golfers, and I was certainly so when I was a junior, is you want to play well and you want to win. But at the end of the day, each tournament, there's only one winner. And that means there's, even on tour, there's one winner and there's 155 losers. So basically, it's just a game of losing. And you just learn and apply, you learn and apply, you learn and apply. And chicken and egg, you know, I don't know. But you certainly, you have to, it's such a mindset. It's such a mentality. And I was lucky enough to work in college with a gentleman in town, Lewis Choka, who's with Apex Performance. And he really got me to believe that being anything other than positive on the golf course is just a complete waste of time. And so for me, it's just so important just to keep that mindset of going forward. And I think ultimately that's what the best in the world do. It's just keep that positive mentality no matter what's going on. Because you might double the first, triple the second, and bogey the third, but you got to step on number four like you're going to make eagle or have the best round of the week. So it's really about mindset, question.
Wait, a sports performance guy and his name is Choker?
Well, it's a Hungarian name.
Okay, all right.
When I met him, it kind of threw me back. But it's C-S-O-K-A.
All right.
It's pronounced Choker.
Well, I'm from Boston. That's Choker. He's a Choker.
There you go. Yep.
All right. Well, Corey, it's always great to talk to you and always great to see you. And good luck down in Plantation, Florida. And we'll hopefully be watching your scores as you make it through into stage three.
Sounds good. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you having me on.